This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Big news that we should at least note before we get to our next guest on the Progressive Guest Line. This coming down just a couple of minutes ago, but it would seem that one Caitlin Clark will miss the next 2 weeks for the Indiana Fever as she deals with a quad strain. That matters for a couple of reasons. Obviously, face of the league, best player in the WNBA at this point right now. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. One of the best players in the WNBA right now. Also affecting MVP odds out in that league, too. If you remember last week, we talked about this. I had added Nafisa Collier at MVP at about plus 250. She'd been off to a great start. Well, this is a pretty big one. It's a minimum of 2 weeks with a quad injury. So we'll see if that gets a little bit farther. Also big in terms of futures, as the Fever are plus 350 to win it all, right behind the Liberty at 2-1 and the Lynx at 3-1. So keep an eye on that. But big news coming out of the WNBA again, Caitlin Clark, quad injury, out for a minimum of 2 weeks. With that, we head out to the Progressive Guest Line. Welcome in Dustin Sweetelson. Did some solo time here yesterday. Of course, one of two talking heads on VSiN Live on Mad Dog Sports Radio. What's up, buddy? We appreciate it. I will ask a different question, not the ramifications of the Caitlin Clark injury. I will ask your feelings after watching Carl Anthony Towns dominate the fourth quarter and your thoughts on your Knicks hopes in this series against the Pacers now.
Well, it's interesting, JVT. And by the way, I have to say, I'm so glad you grew your hair out. You have the best head of hair on the network, at least on the male side of things. And I like you better with the long hair. I just want to start there.
I would say secondly, that because you uttered that statement, I think Joe Serralo just sat up straight in bed. So like, maybe keep that down. You know, maybe we don't utter that, because if you say it three times, he might show up.
That's true. That's true. He didn't show up last night because I was in studio last night, as you mentioned, by myself there at Circa. And on Carl Anthony Towns, you know, I was ready to start that show because I was in the back working on how I was going to start things off as a Knicks fan, watching what was going down, and they're getting smoked. And one of the main points I wanted to make was Carl Anthony Towns is an unserious basketball player. He's just a head case. You can't make sense of him. He's constantly flexing in moments where you're like, all right, maybe that's not the right time to be so pompous and arrogant. There's other times where he's complaining about every single foul where most of the times he's wrong. He did foul someone and he's complaining, or there wasn't a foul on him and he's complaining that he didn't get the call. So I was ready to do that. And then my man erupts for 20 points in the fourth quarter and completely takes over in a game where the Knicks needed him. It wasn't working with Brunson. It just wasn't the fact that he was in foul trouble. It was also the isolation. It's gotten a little bit old. It's gotten stale. And he's dribbling and holding the ball for so long. Someone else was going to have to step up in that spot. And that's why they traded for Carl Anthony Towns. Because supposedly, right, the difference was between Cat and Julius Randle is the upside of Cat was on a different level of what Randle could bring you. Randle's been a very good player for the Knicks. But Cat's still young. Cat can take over games. And I think when we look at what he's done to Indiana and Miles Turner in matchups specifically, it's just kind of like, what's been Thibodeau doing? It's very obvious Indiana doesn't have an answer for Carl Anthony Towns when he plays like a grown man and wants to play physical basketball. And that's what we saw last night. I am curious if we have a series. I want us to have a series. I want to believe the Knicks are going to make this interesting. And I'm going back and forth, JVT, saying, you know, the Knicks could just as easily be up 2-1 in this series. But also, if not for Cat last night, they could be down 3-0.
Yeah. I think we do have a series in that. I still think this goes about six or seven games potentially. I think most likely is Pacers in six, given the way that this series is heading. But we'll see if that's actually going to be the case. More on the Eastern Conference Finals coming up a little bit later and tomorrow, of course. But let's head to tonight. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Oklahoma City Thunder trying to bounce back after getting blown out on the road. They've been terrible away from home. How do we handle this? You're big on player props. Let's ask, how does Shai Gilgeous-Alexander bounce back after a tough performance?
Yeah, I think when we look at this team as a whole, JVT, I think they did a very smart thing, realizing live to fight another day. Let's rest these guys. Let's come out and perform in game four. Let's get our things going in game four. And I think part of what we're going to see from Oklahoma City tonight is extra effort. That's something that when you look at the Thunder, the effort, the defense, creating the points, I also think we're going to see a lot more ball movement. When things are going right for them, they're distributing the ball around. Everyone's very selfless on that roster. And it begins with their leader in SGA. We're going to go over 11.5 rebounds and assists because I think all that extra effort's going to start with him. He's going to crash the glass. I think he's going to make sure everyone else is involved in the offense before he thinks about calling his own number. And with that, I think 11.5 is a little bit short for what he's capable of doing tonight in game four.
All right, what about his alleged running mate, I will say? This has been a rough postseason for Jalen Williams. And if the question was, hey, can Jalen Williams be a number two, I think you're leaning toward no after this postseason run right now. He's been much better at home than on the road. But what do you make of the bounce back for him after another concerning performance?
Well, one way I do like attacking Jalen Williams is the assist area. Again, to go with the SGA handicap of this team selfless, they're going to want to spread the ball around. They're going to want to spread out that Minnesota defense. It's 4.5 assists is the prop for Jalen Williams. The juice is heavy at -145, but I still like it. He went over this number in games 1 and 2. He only played 25 minutes in game 3. That's why he didn't clear it. It was a blowout. But he cleared 4.5 assists against Minnesota in all 4 regular seasons. That makes 6 out of 7 to the over when it comes to over 4.5 assists taking on the Timberwolves. This is a spot where I think Jalen Williams gets everyone else in the mix. And you said it. At times, his shot doesn't fall. And if his shot's not falling, he'll look to get others involved. I like Jalen Williams to contribute to that and go over 4.5 assists.
All right, break in really quickly. As I said, right, sometimes witchcraft works. Joe Serralo checks in, says that he's offended. My hair looks amazing. And this might shock you, but he worked in the fact that he's got a date. So that is one thing that we all know now, that Joe Serralo does have a date today. All right, let's go to the Minnesota Timberwolves. What do you got? What are you trying to say? You look like you got something to say.
Do you think Joe Serralo this might be offensive. Do you think Joe Serralo, when the bill comes, lets the girl split it with him? That's the question.
Yeah, probably. But let's move on from that.
I think he does. I think he thinks the girl's lucky to be out with him, so she should pay for the whole thing.
Why would he think? It's a fact. All right, Naz Reid. He finally wakes up at home. He had missed 15 straight three-point attempts. That dated back to the last game of the Denver series, going into the last game in Game 3. Are we just going to continue this? The old cliche is that role players play better at home. Does that continue for Naz Reid today?
Yeah, that's literally the handicap here. He also, if we're being fair about game flow, he fits the game flow better than Gobert. I don't hate Gobert like Mitch Moss does. Tune in to Follow the Money, where he will eviscerate that Frenchman like it's World War II all over again. But Randall got right in game 3. Expect Oklahoma City to focus a little bit more on him when Randall's coming off a good game. He's been really good. I don't want to criticize Randall. He's been really, really good this postseason. But every now and then we see a dud out of him in the playoffs. I think that when Oklahoma City looks defensively at what they can do, limiting Anthony Edwards is one task. One thing they can do is focus on Randall. If they do limit Randall, that could open up some opportunities for Reed. So I like Naz Reid over 17.5 points and rebounds combined. He went over this in games 3 and game 2. I think this is a spot where Naz Reid is a guy who fits what they want to do when they want to run. If Oklahoma City dictates the pace like they usually do, Naz Reid is a better fit than Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, also tune in later today where they unveil the new name change, F the Frenchman, instead of Follow the Money, a little bit later, 1 p.m. Pacific time. All right, let's go to last player prop here, and then you got some props here and some angles in baseball I really want to hit on. Conley, real quick, what's the sit rep? What do we do with Mike, who has been fine? He's actually been a pretty good role player at times and has hit some pretty big shots for him, but I've had no read on what his role has been.
Yeah, we're going to go under 13.5 points, rebounds, and assists combined on Mike Conley. He looks old, and he's not really a part of what they're doing offensively. And you saw Terrence Shannon come off the bench and gave Chris Finch and the team a little bit of juice, a little bit of life. I don't think we can expect Terrence Shannon Jr. to do what he did in game 3 again, 15 points, 9 in the second quarter alone. But I could see him getting more run just because he's younger, he's fresher. And with Conley, I just don't see him fitting what Oklahoma City wants to do in terms of style of fight. So I'm not sure the minutes are going to be there, and I also don't think he's going to be very involved in the offense. So we'll go under 13.5 PRA on Conley.
All right. So Major League Baseball, you got a ton of player props. But before we get to any of these, one thing that I vehemently disagree with here, I think the Braves are cooked. I don't think that you can start the season 0-7, 0-8, whatever it is, in a National League that looks absolutely stacked, in a division that is very good, and say, we're going to make it out. But you disagree.
I just think the number is so big on a team that's a top two, top three roster talent-wise in baseball. And it's just Memorial Day weekend now. There's a lot of baseball left to be played. They're getting healthier. Acuna back. You need Strider to look better. That's the key to this whole thing. But you have to remember with Atlanta, that stadium's the third highest elevation in all of baseball. It's getting hotter in the South, getting hotter around the country. I think the ball's going to fly. That offense is going to take off. The NL East has been crazy. I'm a Mets fan. I've seen them blow this a million times. I still don't trust their offense. The Phillies are really good, but that's also an old team that's played a lot of baseball. Who knows how they go in, you know, the second half of the season here. I just think the number's too big. The Braves around 5-1 to win the East, 16-1 to win the World Series. If they somehow find their way in the playoffs as a wild card team, they're going to be a dangerous out because talent-wise, it's as good as any roster in baseball, not named the Dodgers.
Well, you can get plus 650, so that'll make you happy if you want to go shop around for that. They have lost 4 out of 5 after everybody got excited. They went one game over 500. Last 50 seconds here on this, when you're looking at this as a whole, why division over just make the playoffs? They are now underdogs to make the playoffs minus 105.
Because I'm very selfish and I saw a big, fat, juicy number, okay, and I wanted that return on the bet.
Okay, all right. Last 30 seconds, Caglione, AL Rookie of the Year, 45-1. What's going on here?
Kansas City Royals need to inject some life into their offense. He's down at AAA. He's got, I think, five homers last four games. He looks like he's completely outdone AAA. He's bored by the pitching. He looks so comfortable at the plate. They'll call him up, and there's plenty of time for him to put up stats to take over as the favorite for AL Rookie of the Year.
Dustin, appreciate it. Thank you very much. Good job yesterday. Talk again soon, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. See ya.
All right, you got it. Dustin Sweetelson again. VSIN live on Mad Dog Radio, 4 p.m. Pacific time.
Here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming up in 15 minutes, Josh will be with us. But first, we've got to tell you about our friends at First Bet. Take your betting to the next level with First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or Saratoga Racecourse, First Bet puts the action in your fingertips. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That is the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200. Score a 20% rebate on all your wagers in the first 60 days up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. All right, news of the hour. Just came down about 15 minutes ago or so. Caitlin Clark out for a minimum of 2 weeks with a quad injury. Very big because I think it's actually going to be pretty fascinating from a betting standpoint. Now we're going to find out how much she's worth to the point spread for the most part. I think there's an argument to be made. It's a very big number, but we'll see if that's going to be the case. Updated WNBA MVP odds from Jeff Sherman, our friend over at the Superbook. Nevisa Collier now moves to the minus 150 odds on favorite to win the MVP. Caitlin Clark is 2-1. Asia Wilson plus 550. And then you get into the very long shots. Not very, but Kelsey Plum at 40-1 had a big game the other night. Brianna Stewart at 50-1 and onward. So it seems on the surface that is a three-horse race, and Nevisa Collier off to a very good start this season and is the odds-on favorite following the injury news of the day. All right, with that, we do get a game tonight in the NBA. The Western Conference Finals resume. We will get to see if Oklahoma City gets up off the mat after a 40-plus point blowout at the hands of the Minnesota Timberwolves. So our opening number for this contest, OKC, a 3.5-point favorite. Total of 216.5. We have seen the hook disappear in a vast majority of places. Some spots open four. And we have seen the total get bet up from 216.5 as high as 219.5 now, where if you're looking at the market, consensus number 219. This is going to be pretty interesting. And I think there's a lot of different ways that you can break down, look at, analyze the way this game goes tonight. But sometimes, like we were talking about with the Eastern Conference Finals, sometimes the answer is the most obvious, or sometimes the breakdown is the most obvious. It was easy to just say, look, Karl-Anthony Towns is awesome. They scored 20 points in the fourth quarter. And here today, I wonder if it's just as simple as saying, OKC's on the road. Why would you bet on him? In this postseason, Oklahoma City at home, is 7-1 straight up, 6-2 against the spread. Away from home, they are 3-3 straight up. They have yet to cover a spread. They're 0-6 ATS away from home. They have been outscored by 7.6 points every 100 possessions when you look at it from that perspective as well. So that's going to be pretty interesting to see if we're actually going to get the very poor road team that Oklahoma City has been throughout this entire postseason. It extends out to their shooting stats as well. Obviously, you would think that's the case. Effective field goal percentage at home for OKC, 56.6%, and they only shoot 36%, or they shoot 36% from three at home. Away from home, a sub-50 effective field goal percentage and a sub-30% three-point percentage. And what I thought was interesting is, after game three, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in media availability gave voice to this and even referenced some of the early series and the way that this team has come out flat away from home. Take a listen.
I'm not sure. The same thing kind of happened in the Memphis series. We came out in Memphis and they blitzed us. I'm not sure. I guess both situations, we were up 2-0 going into game three, and we went on the road and they blitzed us. But we don't try to go out like that, I promise you. But whatever it is, we got to figure out if we want to, you know, reach our ultimate goals. But that's what the days in between are for, to get better.
I mean, I guess you could say that this is just a symptom of having a somewhat young team, that you're just not going to, or when you taste success, you're going to let down a little bit. We saw that a little bit, I think, last night with Indiana. They were up 20, feeling happy. Everything falls apart. Again, Nesmith's injury is part of that. But it's just human nature, when you feel like you're in control, to just let up a little bit. It is hard to keep that same intensity that got you to that point. So maybe it is just a somewhat young team, but the sample size is growing that this team is just not consistent on the road. And you do have to ask the question, is that something that is legitimate as the sample size continues to grow? Or is this going to be something that, again, plagues them here in this game against Minnesota? I think the other part about this is, again, these role players have not been consistent around Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We'll get to Shai's performance in game three, but let's just, it's ad nauseum, but we have to do it again. Jalen Williams, where are you? 13 points, 3 of 8 shooting, 4 rebounds, 2 assists in game three on the road against Minnesota. Away from home, he's shooting 40% from the floor, averaging just 18 points. He's shooting 48% from the floor at home, averaging over 20 points. Jalen Williams has to prove that he can be a number two here and give Shai some support. Chet Holmgren as well, supposed to be not the third guy, but one of the more talented pieces that they have on this roster. In game three, 10 points, 3 of 7 shooting, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Holmgren away from home, 44% from the floor, averaging 15 points, 9 rebounds at home. He's averaging 16 points. He's blocking 3.9% of opponent shot attempts at home, just 2.3% away from home. So, again, it is very simple, but it's just that question. Can you just bank on it to happen? Are we just going to assume that these role players for Oklahoma City are going to show up? It's a very tough question to answer. The larger, or the growing, we should say, sample size, data, evidence would tell us that they're probably not going to show up because they haven't throughout this postseason. But what if they do when you're trying to bank on that? I think the other part of this is, how much did Minnesota's defense bother Shai, and does it hold going forward? Shai in game three, 14 points on 4 of 13 shooting, had just 2 rebounds, did dish 6 assists. They were outscored by 32 points in his minutes on the floor over the weekend. It had seemed that the Timberwolves were guarding him just a little bit differently, like observationally. I thought that they were going under screens a little bit more often. They were picking him up lower in previous game than they were in previous games, right? So all of a sudden you turn a corner, and instead of walking into a soft mid-range jumper because you have a big playing drop, and of course you have a guy going over a screen, well, it was the other way around, and you were just walking into a contested shot, and that really seemed to bother him. The other important part about this, Shai only had 4 free throw attempts in game three. That is something that is somewhat out of Minnesota's control. It does depend on the way that the game is getting called. But I thought they did a brilliant job, Minnesota did, in defending Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, getting in his space without fouling him. Again, how this game gets called tonight will be vital to how they defend him. But I do think that you have that in your control to be able to contest shots without fouling. And I think that that is something they can potentially continue to do. They're also just more, like, wildly more aggressive defensively. Had a turnover rate on defense of over 20%. They're using those to get steals, for runouts, to get to the basket. I thought it was a brilliant defensive performance, a more intense defensive performance from Minnesota. That is something you can control. You can control your intensity of defensive play. And I think that probably comes back here again today. I think the thing that gives me some pause, and I think the thing you somewhat worry about, is that pendulum when it comes to three-point shooting. It swung wildly back in the other direction for Minnesota. Games one and two, they took 47% of their shots from beyond the arc. They shot 30.2%. They were abysmal from beyond the arc in games one and two. As we talked about when you're talking about the open attempts, in the first two games, they shot just 29.2% on uncontested three-point looks. In game three, they went 9 of 17. So they generated the open looks, and they hit them. That's very good. But again, does that continue, especially when in non-garbage time you hit 50% or 52% of your overall three-point attempts? That's going to be pretty crazy. Can you trust that that's going to happen? And the one thing, and this is the aspect of Minnesota's game that I brought up a couple of times, and it dates back to the beginning of the series with the Golden State Warriors, is their ability to score at the rim. Can they do it? Very quietly, in that romp of the Oklahoma City Thunder, they still didn't really get to the rim. And I think that is going to be somewhat worrisome for them. They shot just what I think they had them at 8 of 12 within 4 feet of the basket. I think I got that number off. Regardless, they shot about 50% at the rim. They didn't have a lot of attempts. A lot of shots from distance were going down. Again, if those shots aren't going down, can you get to the restricted area? Can you get to the paint? Can you score within 4 feet? That is not something that Minnesota has yet to show that they can do with consistency against Oklahoma City. And I think that's a small worry for Minnesota if we hit the wrong side of this and those three-point shots don't go down. But having said all of that, I think from a number standpoint, to me it is Minnesota or nothing. I'm with Zach. I took 3.5 here with the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. I think that when you look at the way that this is getting priced, let's just roll with the fact that the market's been telling us this whole time, for the most part, that home court's been worth, let's just say, a flat 3, okay? That would mean that we're back to a 9 when we're playing back in Oklahoma City for a series that was floating around 7.5 to 8 in the two games that we saw. And I was with Zach. Like, I played Minnesota the first two games. Thought we were a little undervaluing Minnesota in those two games. I think we saw a little bit of a glimpse of that here in game 3 over the weekend. And I'm willing to come back to the well one more time and just plant my flag. And Minnesota and Oklahoma City are closer to one another than what the market is saying. And especially when you're talking about a team like OKC that has not performed up to expectations away from home. Market would seemingly agree, as we mentioned. The spots at open 4 and the other spots at open 3.5. We're all down to 3 right now. There's likely to be some buyback. We generally do see that right before tip. So I don't think I'm going to have like any immense closing line value. I would expect that we close 3.5. I think it's much more likely we close 3.5 than we close 2.5 here in this game. Obviously could be wrong, but I'm willing to bank on this, man. I think Minnesota is better than what we have seen. I think they still have that ace of the pocket when you look at the ability to score at the rim. And I'll have some player prop angles for you coming up, too, at the end of the show. Josh Applebaum is going to join us next. But first, no better time than the playoffs to check out all of the Sharp Plays at SharpPlays.com, where real bettors go to get ahead. Since 2011, Sharp Plays has been locked in on what the real pros are betting, bets that are actually moving the markets. When you sign up, you gain access to not only the plays, but all of Sharp Plays' powerful AI tools and betting reports, plus real-time alerts and updates via email or X. Perhaps most importantly, betting logs live and available on the site so you can see it. Don't take our word for it. Check the receipts when you head over to sharpplays.com. That is sharpplays.com. Josh Applebaum joins us next. We'll get his thoughts on the MLB market, what we might see tonight, and we'll have best bets at the bottom of the hour and more. Don't go anywhere.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we only got 30 minutes left. I haven't burned down the place. Stormy's lovely show here that she has named and I am now taking care of. Hopefully, we'll still be on the air, but we have 30 minutes to ruin that still. Josh Applebaum joins us now in our quest to potentially bring down the reputation of Money Moves. Josh, we appreciate it. Joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. All right, let's start in the Western Conference Finals. Really incredibly fascinating game, not only just because it's a Conference Finals matchup, but we have been very non-competitive in this series so far, Josh, and that includes a 40-point blowout of the Thunder in Game 3. What is the market telling us for Game 4?
Yeah, JBT, happy Memorial Day. Great to be with you. So this one's interesting to me because you really have a big split between what the public perceives this game to be versus what the respected bettors and how they're moving this line kind of expect this one to play out. So you named it here, big blowout, obviously, by Minnesota. Those who played that down 0-2 coming home first quarter system match obviously got an easy winner there early, and then Minnesota blows them out, makes it 2-1. Series price, though, JVT, still very bullish on OKC at DraftKings. They're minus 800 to win this series, so still a big favorite. You have right now Minnesota plus 550. But in this spot tonight, I'm going to take the points with Minnesota because on the one hand, the public is saying, hey, OKC is a fantastic team. Yeah, they got blown out, but that's a one-off. They're going to bounce back and play well tonight at Minnesota. So right now you're getting nearly two-thirds of spread bets at DraftKings, big national public book, laying this short number with OKC. However, if you look at the way this line has moved, it's not moving toward the public bounce back OKC spot. It's moving toward Minnesota. We opened this game, much of the market was as high as OKC minus four, minus 3.5. You're now seeing on our VSiN board, this line is down to 3. I even saw BetMGM, I believe, touching 2.5. So it's been pretty consistent movement where the public's playing the favorite, but this line is moving toward the dog. And in this spot, when you look at playoff dogs this postseason, they've been pretty profitable. They're 43-35 against the spread, 55% ATS, 5% ROI. And JBT, if you isolate these really short dogs that are getting less than 4 points, those teams are 10-6 ATS, 63% with a 20% ROI. So I'm going to take the points here with Minnesota. The fact that, hey, maybe they got some confidence after that big blowout win. They're contrarian in a very heavily bet game here tonight, primetime. You got a lot of people, you know, celebrating Memorial Day. So they're going to be at home sweating this game. Public's going with OKC, but line's moving toward Minnesota. I'm going to wait, though, JBT, see if I can get a 3.5, because you do see a couple shops that are juiced back toward OKC, like it may kind of creep back up. If I can find that hook, I'll take the 3.5 for the T-Wolves.
Like, real quick, I know we have some baseball, but we've also seen a pretty big move on this total to the over. Does that spark anything for you, or you just set that aside? Because that's already moved about 3 points.
Yeah, it's moved a ton. I mean, I got to respect that you had a lot of money here early, hit that low number. You know, it was as low as JBT, like 216, 217. Now you're all the way up to 219 at this point. The splits are actually a little bit, I would be a little bit careful here because if you look at Circo, they look good, about 70% bets, 80% dollars. But at DraftKings, you're getting nearly 90% of bets playing this over. So maybe this thing flies over, but I don't love getting a public over after a line has moved a ton. Again, it could fly over, but to me, if you're holding like a 216, 217, and you got the over, you're feeling great. It's hard for me to lay the worst of the number in a really, really big public play after this line has moved so much.
All right, let's go to Major League Baseball. Interesting matchup later today, 8 o'clock about there, your time. Arizona sliding, now has to face the Heen Dog and the Pittsburgh Pirates. What have we seen here with the market?
Yeah, so I'm going to kind of bank on the D-backs getting back on track here, JBT. You kind of named it perfectly. They just got swept. They've lost 5 in a row. They're below 500 for the first time in quite a while. Pitching matchup would kind of lean you toward Pirates in this one. Andrew Heaney's been pretty decent. The lefty is 3-3, 2.91 ERA. You look at Ryan Nelson for Arizona. He's 1-1, 4.60 ERA. But all the steam in this one, JBT, is toward the Diamondbacks. They open as low as minus 170, minus 175. We're showing on our VSiN board, you know, upwards of over minus 190 at this point. You have some shops even creeping toward minus 200. You got some pretty good splits out where you are, JBT, at circa 66% bets, but over 90% money is on Arizona. And I do have a lot of system matches lighting up on the Diamondbacks tonight. If you are seeing a matchup between two teams that are both below 500, just take the favorite. It's a very simple system, but it's 65% this year with a 7% ROI. If you're a Monday home favorite with a line move, starting a new week here, you're seeing the line in your direction. Those teams are 68% this season, 9% ROI. The home favorite in the opener, game one of a new series, 65%, 4% ROI. And really, I think you're going to need the bats of Arizona to wake up a bit because they do have a big offensive advantage overall. They're hitting 255, 73 homers. They've scored 267 runs. You look at the opposite side with the Pirates, only hitting 224, 37 homers, 164 runs. And then if also if you look at some of these home road splits, Pittsburgh is 6-19 on the road. That's the third worst road team in baseball. And Arizona is hitting 7th overall at home and 9th against lefties. So they're top 10 at home and against lefties. Pittsburgh ranks 29th against righties and 29th on the road. So again, I think it's a get right spot. The market's moving toward Arizona. If you can still get a BetMGM access play right now, they're as low as minus 185.
All right, I like it. Give me some good news here. You know, it's funny, Josh, my Angels, red hot, right? Hottest team in baseball. Everybody's telling me how great they are. And I was like, don't worry, it'll fall apart. And then they lose a weekend series to Miami. Now Miami has to head a little bit further south in Cali, go take on the Padres. What do we see here, Weathers versus Vasquez?
Yeah, well, on the other hand, JBT, at least your Angels are cashing overs left and right. I know the last two games in that series were low scoring, but they're one of the best over teams in baseball. But I'm looking at another home favorite here, JBT, with the Padres. Pitching matchup, you have Ryan Weathers going for as a lefty for the Marlins, 1-0, 1.80 ERA. But Randy Vasquez, 3-4, 3.49 ERA. He's been really good. Vasquez, actually, in the month of May, he's made four starts. He has an ERA below 2.5. He's got an ERA of around 2 at home, so he's been pretty dependable. We've seen this line move towards San Diego. San Diego opened as low as minus 130, minus 135. We're now seeing them upwards of, again, minus 150, even minus 155 on our VSiN board. Circa splits look pretty good here on San Diego. Less than half the tickets, but nearly two-thirds of the money. And then I have a ton of systems lighting up on San Diego tonight. Home favorites with a winning record, 66%, 5% ROI this year. Home favorites who made the postseason the previous year, 66%, 6% ROI. You have some of those Monday systems, start of a new series, home favorite, and then that Monday line move system, both nearly 70% lighting up on San Diego. Also, correlative betting. This is a low total game, JBT. It's like 8, 7.5. And anytime I see kind of a low total, less than 8.5 with the line moving toward the favorite, usually that's a good sign. Fewer amount of expected runs scored, more likely to come from, quote unquote, the better team who's favored. And then home road. Miami struggled. I know they just took 2 of 3 against your Halos, JBT, but they're still 8-15 on the road. San Diego's been one of the best home teams for quite a few years at this point, 16-8 at home in this spot. So shop around. BetMGM right now is at minus 145. I'll play the Fathers in this one tonight.
All right, I like it. And speaking of those Halos, they do get the Bronx Bombers here today as well. What do we expect?
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But, I mean, the market and the movement and the way I'm going here is I'm going to go with the Yankees. I think if you play them right now, hopefully you'll get some closing line value. I know it's kind of a high price, but a lot of books are starting to move toward like minus 180 and higher. But pitching matchup, you got Ryan Yarbrough. He's 1-0, 3.38 ERA, the lefty going for the Yankees. And Jack Kochanowicz, 3-5, 5.03 ERA for your Angels. Remember, this line opened as low as like minus 155, minus 160. So you've seen pretty consistent movement in favor of the Yankees, now upwards of minus 175 or more. You have a very, very lopsided bet split, pro and Joe action on the Bronx Bombers. 88% bets, over 90% money on the Yankees at DraftKings. 88% bets, 99% money where you're at, JBT, at Circa. System matches here, favorites with a line move in their direction who made the playoffs the previous year. They're 65% with a 4% ROI. And in this spot in particular, I know it's chalky. It's hard to take, you know, big popular teams when they're laying minus numbers, but the Yankees are the second best chalk team in baseball. When they're favored, they've gone 31-15, 67%, 9% ROI. But in particular, when they are on, when they're a favorite of minus 150 or more, so even though it's a hefty price, they've come through in these spots. Minus 150 or more, the Yankees are 19-6 this year, 76%, 17% ROI. You have a lot of advantages offensively for the Yankees. They scored over nearly 300 runs at this point. Also, bullpen. Yankees have the sixth best bullpen, 3.29 ERA. JBT, I know you know this, but your Angels, man, they got the worst bullpen in baseball, 6.45 ERA. I'm going to play the Yankees in this spot. Again, even though it's kind of hefty, I think this thing may even creep up throughout the day. So if you like it, again, BetMGM's kind of the place to bet these games. They're as low as minus 165 right now.
Yeah, and if you watched the winning streak too, you knew that they were really just living and dying by a lineup that was red hot and absolutely scorching and really just winning a whole bunch of, as you're alluding to with their best over record, a whole bunch of high-scoring affairs, and that was never going to be sustainable for them. Josh, appreciate it. Thank you very much, sir. Happy Memorial Day, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, JBT. You deserve a cold one, you know, a hot dog. Enjoy your Memorial Day, man.
There we go. I already texted my wife. Yes, hot dogs. And some sort of, like, you got to have baked beans, right? That's like an American thing, is it not? I've seen a lot of plates of baked beans on the timeline today. So maybe that's it. All right, potato chips as well. All right, with that, by the way, Jack Kochanowicz, original name, full name, Von Kochanowicz. Very good, V-O-N. How about that? All right, when we come back, let's reset. We're going to have best bets. We're going to hit a little bit more in terms of the player props in the Western Conference Finals because there's an angle worth hitting on once more when it comes to Oklahoma City from a player prop standpoint. We'll also hear from Tom Thibodeau as well. I think Tibbs deserves credit for the job he did, even if I think he completely stumbled into what was a great solution for his team. We'll discuss when we come back here on Money Moves.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's See, I think that one of my greatest strengths is I can admit when I'm wrong. And we were trying to recall a great memory in VSiN history. And I could not remember the name of a former producer. And I was told said name. And I said, it's not going to happen. It's not him. But I was wrong. It was him. I saw a picture. So I apologize. Some great moments in terms of fights behind the scenes here at the Vegas Stats Information Network. Very, very enjoyable. But that is for... that's for later in our lifespan. How about that? Yeah, the VSiN Plus Plus subscription. Now, what you get as part of a VSiN Plus subscription, and just in general, is great bits like this. Where in the world is Stormy Bonatoni? Now, we have not heard from her in the last 24 hours or so, but we did get texts over the weekend. I also got a picture of Carbonara, but that was stateside because that was, I think, yours, Ortega. But menu update, apparently Stormy's husband has ordered Carbonara twice on the trip. That's aggressive. A lot of cheese. But either way, where in the world is she now? We throw up the picture, and it seems like she is on something called the Spanish Steps. Oh, in Rome. Okay. Something doesn't equate because she's in Rome, but the steps are Spanish. Either way, I'm glad she's having a good time. She looks very happy. Every picture we've seen, she's smiling. So that's always a good thing. That's always a good thing. Although I don't think she would like send us a picture of a terrible day. So she is at the Spanish Steps, or was. We will wait to see. A lot of, because we have other pictures she has sent us. Maybe we'll use those if we don't get others in the next couple of days. A lot of very articulate ceilings in Italy, it would seem. Like, there's a lot. I don't think articulate is the right word, but you know what I'm saying. Like, artistic and intricate and all sorts of weird and crazy ceilings out there in Italy. But, again, glad she's having a good time. She will be back next Monday. Still no food pics. You're right. We have yet to get a picture of food from her, which is one of the things we requested. But, of course, we can't be perfect. At least she's sending us pictures and buying into the bit. All right, with that, a man that I assume has been to Italy because he's rich, but I have no real evidence to that fact, Tom Thibodeau. I mentioned this. Look, I think Tibbs in the first game and potentially in the second game of this Eastern Conference Final Series, he was getting circles coached around him. Carlisle was doing much better with his decision-making, with his substitutions, rotations, all of that. And so Tibbs decides to try something out, and he starts Mitchell Robinson over the weekend in game three. I don't think that was a change.
I know you guys.
Oops, sorry. I apologize. It was a pregnant pause. Yep, it was a pregnant pause. You got it. I don't think it was a change that was desperately needed. Robinson actually didn't end up closing out the game. But what helped them come back was actually the foul trouble of Jalen Brunson and the fact that he and Karl Anthony Towns got their minutes split up because of said foul trouble. That actually happened in game one as well. And so I think that we're going to see that a little bit more. But Tibbs has kind of stumbled into something. I don't think he has done it of his own accord, but he did it out of necessity, and it has unlocked a little bit of something here. So we'll see if that's the case. But either way, it is another 20-point comeback for the New York Knicks. Tibbs, what is going on? How do you do it?
I know you guys like roll your eyes when I say no lead is safe, but no lead is safe because I think with the three-point shot, people make up ground quickly, pace the game, make up ground quickly. So you see comebacks all the time, and if you let up just a little bit, that's what happens. And so you got to win games different ways. Obviously, you prefer to play from a lead, but if whatever it is that you have to do, that's what you have to do to get the win in the end. And you know, going into the game, we talked about, yeah, you don't play the series, you play the game. Just focus in on what it takes to win tonight's game. That's all we're thinking about.
Got it done. Third 20-point comeback in this postseason for the New York Knicks, and they are 2.5-point underdogs for game four. Excuse me. All right. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN as we get to our best bets brought to you by GBank. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 in First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through August 31st, a $200 value. That's $500 in the trifecta from GBank, VSiN, and First Bet. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. It's a one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer. Will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. As we spin this forward to the Western Conference Finals tonight, as discussed, Minnesota +3.5. The bet with for me, riding with Zach Cohen there as well, who was on with us earlier. You can check out his article up at VSiN.com. But it just goes back to, for me, again, number-wise, I just think we're a little too far here with this rating. I think Minnesota rates as a little bit closer to Oklahoma City than what the market is saying. Market's telling us there's about 6 points of separation between these two teams, and I just don't believe that gap to be that large. I think Minnesota did get the rough side of shooting variance in the first two games. I understand how bad it looked at times offensively for this team. And also, to bring up the point of trepidation for me after game three, which is the still inability to get to within 4 feet of the basket. But when the shots are falling like that, you're probably not pressuring too much at the rim. This team is capable of shooting better than it did in the first two games. We saw that in game three. They're at home where the role players can play better. We saw that in game three. Now, as Reed woke up, snapped out of his slump, hit his first four shots, you see this team, how much more comfortable they are, how much more intense they are from a defensive standpoint. You give me all of that at home, plus a number that I think is incorrect, and we'll go Minnesota +3.5 here in this set against the Oklahoma City Thunder. One more bet here, and we can expand this out to some player props as well. Going to go back to the well one more time with Cason Wallace, over 11.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Now, Wallace did not hit this mark in the last game, only played about 15 minutes or so. It was less than 20 for sure, but that was a blowout. Wallace has cemented himself as a big part of this rotation for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I think that this is going to be a pretty big deal as we move forward in this series, which is Wallace is going to be, again, a big part of this team in the future, and that future is starting now. And the four previous games had averaged 30 minutes, has gone over this number in terms of 11.5 for points, rebounds, and assists in six out of the last nine, averaging those 30 minutes of the four games prior. I don't think the market's really caught up for what his larger role is so far in this series and in this postseason as it moves forward. So as long as his points, rebounds, and assist number for Cason Wallace is floating around that 11.5 mark, I think that's a play over. I don't think that accounts for what he can do and what his expanded role has been here in this postseason for Oklahoma City. So again, Cason Wallace over 11.5 points, rebounds, and assists will be the play for a player prop standpoint later this evening. And as far as we're concerned for the rest of this in terms of player props and the other pieces, I'm going to be very curious to see. I know we talked to Dustin Sweetelson about this earlier in the program, about Jalen Williams and what he has been able to do or lack thereof in some of these road games, to put again some numbers behind his struggles so far in this postseason. Williams, away from home, 18 points but on 40% shooting, 4.5 rebounds, 5.3 assists. I do wonder if he's actually going to show up. And the other curious, I think, angle that I don't feel confident enough to play, but I'm going to be curious to see if it actually comes to fruition. As you mentioned, we were talking about the way that Minnesota is defending or trying to defend Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, defending without fouling. Shai did take 4 3-point attempts in his time on the floor in game three. That is not like a high amount, but for him, he wants to take these mid-range shots. And I do wonder if this team's going to continue to defend him the way they were, electing to go under screens, meeting him in that mid-range area of the floor, not giving him clean looks, if he starts to take a little bit more in terms of those three-point looks and potentially sinks a few more and, by extension, takes a few more as well. How they play him and how he responds is going to be, I think, really interesting. If you look at Shai's numbers right now, his number in terms of total threes made for the game, right now 1.5 over -125. If they continue to defend him in that way, I think there's a pretty good shot he could go over that. But I do wonder if my observation is actually true or if that's just more of confirmation bias from watching Minnesota play a much better defensive game, especially from an intensity standpoint there. But Shai threes, 1.5 over -125, something I think is worth tracking, because if he's given space, I think you take what you're given. And that could mean that Shai is going to go ahead and hit those shots. So as far as that's concerned, those are the two best bets I've got. Minnesota +3.5 and Cason Wallace over 11.5 points, rebounds, and assists. As far as bets are concerned as we move forward, I do think that Indiana in game four is the side. They're laying 2.5. Again, when you talk about the number, I think that should be much closer to like 3.5, depending on what you're giving for home court. I think those two teams are equals to one another. But I will say this, Aaron Nesmith ended up getting back into that game last night. I would be curious to see what his status is going to be for game four. It is great when you can get back out there, when the adrenaline's pumping, when you want to help your team out, but I do think it's a whole nother animal with some days, with some time off, to allow that thing to kind of seize up, swell up, get a little bit more stiff, and what his status is going to be as we move forward into game four. That gives me a little pause, But I do think from a number perspective, from a side perspective, Indiana still has enough to get this thing done, especially as a short favorite at home where I think the number should be a little bit higher. All right, stay tuned to VSiN after Money Moves. Prop Points, Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson. They will be with you at 2 p.m. Eastern. Then stick around, Make It Rain with our guy Adam Schein at 3 p.m., followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard at 4 o'clock. No truth to the rumor that they are changing their show name to F. Rudy Gobert. That is not the case. I think Dustin was just making that up. So make sure you check that out. Go to VSiN.com for all of our articles and great stuff as well, and for a VSiN Pro subscription. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on Money Moves.